नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 1 चैप्टर 8 एंटाइटल्ड प्रेयर्स बाय क्वीन कुंती टेक्स्ट नंबर 31 गोप्या ददे त्वहि कृतगा सिदा मतावद याते दशाश्रु का लीलांजना संभ्रमाक्षम वक्त्रं निनियाबाय भावनाया स्थितस्य सामं विमोह्य सामं विमोहयति भीर अपि यद् बिभेति Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Translation. So prayers by Queen Kunti. Queen Kunti is speaking. My dear Krishna. Okay. You can repeat, all right. My dear Krishna. Yasoda. Took up a rope to bind you when you committed an offense, and your perturbed eyes overflooded with tears, which washed the mascara from your eyes, and you were afraid. Though fear personified is afraid of you. This sight is bewildering to me. Purport. Here is another explanation of the bewilderment created by the pastimes of the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord is the Supreme in all circumstances, as already explained. Here is a specific example of the Lord's being the Supreme and at the same time a plaything in the presence of His pure devotee. The Lord's pure devotee renders service unto the Lord out of unalloyed love only, and while discharging such devotional service, the pure devotee forgets the position of the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord also accepts the loving service of His devotees more relishably when the service is rendered spontaneously out of pure affection, without anything of reverential admiration. Generally, the Lord is worshipped by devotees, by their devotees, in a reverential attitude. But the Lord is meticulously pleased when the devotee, out of pure affection and love, considers the Lord to be less important than himself. The Lord's pastimes in the original abode of Goloka Vrindavan are exchanged in that spirit. The friends of Krishna consider him one of them. They do not consider him to be of reverential importance. The parents of the Lord, who are all pure devotees, consider him a child only. The Lord accepts the chastisements of the parents more cheerfully than the prayers of the Vedic hymns. Similarly, he accepts the reproaches of his fiancées more palatably than the Vedic hymns. When Lord Krishna was present in this material world to manifest His eternal pastimes of the transcendental realm of Goloka Vrindavan as an attraction for the people in general. It displayed a unique picture of subordination before his foster mother, Yasoda. The Lord, in his naturally childish playful activities, used to spoil the stocked butter of Mother Yasoda by breaking the pots and distributing the contents to his friends and playmates, including the celebrated monkeys of Vrindavan, who took advantage of the Lord's munificence. Mother Yasoda saw this, and out of a pure love, she wanted to make a show of punishment for a transcendental child. She took a rope and threatened the Lord that she would tie him up, as is generally done in the ordinary household. Seeing the rope in the hands of Mother Yasoda, the Lord bowed down his head and began to weep just like a child, and tears rolled down his cheeks, washing off the black ointment smeared about his beautiful eyes. This picture of the Lord is adored by Kunti Devi because she is conscious of the Lord's supreme position. He is feared often by fear personified, yet he is afraid of his mother who wanted to punish him just in an ordinary manner. Kunti was conscious of the exalted position of Krishna, whereas Yasoda was not. Therefore, Yasoda's position was more exalted than Kunti's. Mother Yasoda got the Lord as a child, and the Lord made her forget altogether that a child was the Lord himself. If Mother Yasoda had been conscious of the exalted position of the Lord, she would certainly have hesitated to punish the Lord. But she was made to forget this situation because the Lord wanted to make a complete gesture of childishness before the affectionate Yasoda. This exchange of love between the mother and the son was performed in a natural way, and Kunti, remembering the scene, was bewildered, and she could do nothing but praise the transcendental filial love. Indirectly, Mother Yasoda is praised for a unique position of love, for she could control even the all-powerful Lord as her beloved child. Srila Prabhupada, in a lecture in Melbourne in Australia, he mentions that any associate of Krishna, whether they are boyfriends or calves or cows, or even for that matter trees or plants or flowers, and Srila Prabhupada said even water, like that, they are all devotees of Krishna. He mentions further that they like to serve Krishna in different capacities. And he simply says that somebody is serving Krishna as an animal, somebody else is serving Krishna as a fruit, and somebody else is serving Krishna even as a flower. For that. Another as a tree. And then he immediately says, and water like our Yamuna. So this indicates something. That generally devotees, in a innocent way, they may want to become a gopi, or they may want to become a coward boy, or for that matter become a cow, and so forth. This in and of itself is not proper, because in the spiritual nature, you know, ananda chinmaya ras pratibhavita abhis, everything is of the nature of spirituality in the sense that we do not take on a form to actually engage in devotional service. But when we, in the material nature, we wear the dress of a subtle and gross body because we do not want to engage in devotional service. We want to engage in activities that are contrary for Krishna's pleasure. So in the spiritual world, because of material experience, somebody may feel that I want the form of a gopi, or I want the form of a coward boy. But that means you and the form that you want is different, which is not the case in Goloka Vrindavan. So yeah, Srila Prabhupada gives the evidence in this particular lecture in Melbourne. He says that somebody is serving Krishna as animal, as a boy, as a girl, as a flower, and so forth. Generally, we are aware that the spirit soul is composed of the nature of Sachidananda Vigraha, which tends to be quite vague, because you cannot attribute a material experience to that. You cannot function with material experience with Sachidananda Vigraha. One cannot function on that basis like that. So in one particular purport in the third canto, Srila Prabhupada very nicely explains the form of the spirit soul in the spiritual world. And the form of the spirit soul in the spiritual world is the form of the attitude of devotional service. Period. That's it. In other words, if the living entity does not engage in activities of devotional service, then one will engage in activities that are not devotional service. And for that you need a material body, both gross and subtle. But in the spiritual nature, the spirit soul is composed of the nature of serving Krishna. Sometimes a little hard to digest that point. The spirit soul is composed of the nature of serving Krishna. So somebody may ask the question relative to material experience. So what is the form of a gopi and the form of a coward boy? Don't we see form like we paint pictures and paintings? We see form. Yes, we see that form, but that form is the form of devotional service. They do not take a form as a facility to engage in devotional service. The form itself is not different from serving Krishna. So this feature of the form, which is non-different in serving Krishna, which is called bhakti or devotional service, is the actual consciousness of the living entity naturally. Now, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's a beautiful verse, Mirga Mada Taraganda Yaiche Avicheda Agni Jwalate Yachi Kabunahi Beda. Here, it is indicated that the fragrance from musk, you know, Mirga Madha, which means musk, there's a taraganda. The fragrance from musk comes from musk. And similarly, heat and light comes from fire. Now, the interesting thing is that although fragrance comes from musk, musk cannot experience its own fragrance. And although heat and light comes from fire, fire cannot experience its own heat and light. It is of the nature to be like that. See? So similarly, Krishna prema comes from Krishna, but Krishna cannot experience love for himself. This is given like that in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So therefore the personification of Krishna prema in the form of Mother Yasoda is greater than Krishna himself, because Krishna prema is greater than and Krishna. Now we find that there are events that lead up to why Krishna stole butter from his own home. Actually, he's a cultured boy. You know, he's the son of the king, you know, Nanda. You know? And Vrajeshwari. The queen is there. Right there. So he's a cultured boy. Like that. He doesn't do anything naughty in that sense. So one time another elderly gopi came to Mother Yasoda, as Srila Prabhupada tells us in an act of devotion, that, you know, your son is cunning. So she asked why. It's because he's stolen a lump of butter from my home, and on top of that, to make things worse, he blames my own son for the mischief by, you know, smearing the butter on his face. So it's a problem like that. So upon hearing this, Mother Yasoda's eyebrows sort of, you know, curved in a way that it gave a message to the other elderly gopi. Look, you don't speak about my son like this. You know, because sometimes when the eyebrows become a little curved, you don't have to speak. That's message itself, like that. And then after doing that, she simply, you know, disregarded the complaint, and she simply looked at the elderly gopi with a smiling face, you know, just smiling at her as if, you know, what's the difficulty anyway? You know, like that. So as we know from Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna is definitely, you know, the origination of being uncultured. Certainly, that is there. Yeah. So as we know, before the milking of the cows, you know, from the, you know, inhabitants of the home, Krishna immediately releases the calves, so that all the milk can be drunk by the calves, and there's no milk for the household people, in that sense. And at the same time, the gopis, they actually complain a lot, you know, almost every day, like that. And Mother Yasoda, she exhibits this, you could say, mood of being fed up in a positive way. In other words, and I'm fed up of hearing this, but say more. It cannot be understood on the material platform, you know, in that sense, like that. And Krishna is not just uncultured, but he doesn't even eat the butter. He just, you know, breaks all those butter pots, and Prabhupada says, and distributes it to the celebrated monkeys of Vrindavan. He uses this nice word in this particular purport, like that. Now, aside from being a thief in his childhood affairs, Krishna also was also expert thief in attracting the young gopis, because he stole their hearts. And that, so that's thief. Stealing people's hearts, in a sense. So Prabhupada said, this is Krishna's business. In other words, he is good in any activities, even if it is the greatest feature of immorality. He is good at that. Nobody can be better than Krishna as the first class debauchee. Nobody can be better than him. In fact, anybody who tries to compete is an utter failure. There's nothing is there like that. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada says his name is Krishna, which indicates that he is all attractive even in his immoral ways, even in his uncultured ways, like that. Now, it's interesting that in his uncultured behavior, Krishna's face becomes more attractive, like that. And when the elderly gopis go and chastise him by stealing butter from their homes, the chastisement makes Krishna's face even more funny and more attractive, like that. And the gopis remain fully satisfied by doing that. So therefore, Prabhupada says, Krishna is not only a Gopi Janavalabha of the young gopis, he is also Gopi Janavalabha of the elderly gopis because of this interaction with them, like that. And Krishna simply invents such activities to bring pleasure to the elderly gopis. He creates such activities to bring pleasure to them. And another elderly gopi told Mother Yasoda that, you know, he not only steals like that, and when we accuse him of stealing, he pulls the braids, you know, the hair braids of the ladies, and he also pulls on their saris, and then we have to tell him, go away. Like that, see? And then at the same time, when he sees one of the younger daughters of the elderly gopis, he immediately proposes on the spot, I want to marry you. Like that. And if they say no, then with his lotus feet, he simply kicks them and he said, you are useless anyway. I am leaving. You know, that type of thing. See? So he is famous for stealing dahi, yogurt, and so forth. And then one of the elderly gopis said, he is famous for stealing the hearts of everyone, but you be careful, Mother Yasoda. Now he is stealing wealth, but when he grows up, he is going to steal the wives of other men. Like that. So then, Mother Yasoda is hearing this, you know, Krishna stealing butter. But then, how is it that he doesn't do it in my home? I see that these elderly gopis, they get so much ecstasy in complaining to me about him, like that, and they are far more satisfied that he steals from their home, but why doesn't he steal from my home? Like that. Why doesn't he steal from my home? So, when she feels that way, that is the desire that is actually fulfilled by Krishna, which is this famous month of Damodar, like that. So at one time, Mother Yasoda feels that, no, this boy, he cannot steal from my home, because we brought him up in a cultured way. How can he do something in his own home by being the son of the king, Nanda, like that? And then she has so much feelings within herself, and she feels that maybe I'm not feeding this boy nicely at home, and therefore he's looking for some more sumptuous, you know, foodstuffs in the house of the other gopis, like that. And I see he's very happy stealing in their home, and therefore I am not feeding him properly. Like that. So in that sense, Mother Yashoda, she gets into an internal state of deep stress and depression. This is completely spiritual. Because whatever you experience materially had its origination in the spiritual nature. And in that stressful and depressed state internally, Srila Prabhupada used to say that she feels, if I do not feed this boy, he will die. Like that. If I do not feed this boy, he will die. And maybe I am not feeding him sumptuously enough. Therefore, he is going to other people's homes and stealing. Like that. So, Srila Prabhupada gives a nice, you could say in one sense, a lesson to this. So just see, Mother Yashoda, everyone else prays to God, our Father give us our daily bread. But here Mother Yashoda is feeling, if I do not feed this boy, he will die. She's not asking for Krishna, she's feeling Krishna is dependent on her for sustenance. Like that. So there's no meaning to the name Janardhan. Janardhan doesn't exist in Golok Vrindavan. Janardhan means the maintainer of every living entity. But here Mother Yashoda feels, this boy is dependent on me maintaining him. Like that. Now, we know in the spiritual nature that every word is a song. Katha gana natyam gamanam api vamsi priya sakhi. Like that. You know, vamsi priya sakhi, that the flute is the constant attendant of the Lord. Music. And in that way, every word is a song. Every gate, you know, G-A-I-T is a dance. And the flute is Krishna's favorite attendant. So in the 10th canto, in Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 9th chapter, where Mother Yashoda binds Lord Krishna, it says, you know, yani yaniha gitani tad bala charitani cha. In other words, gitani. Mother Yashoda is singing the childhood pastimes of Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada said specifically that she enjoyed singing to herself. You know, yani yaniha gitani. Like that. Now that's an important point. She didn't need an audience. This is bhakti. Like that. Prabhupada specifically says she enjoyed singing to herself. She didn't need an audience. Like that. So that is the best kirtan. That when you sing for the pleasure of the Lord, oblivious of an audience, although there's some reciprocation from the audience. Now, in subsequent verses in the 10th canto, in chapter 9, in text number 3, it describes Mother Yashoda in very exacting detail. Who actually, you know, in terms of, she's a personification of Krishna Prema, but at the same time, there are features on the person of Mother Yashoda that's actually separately enlivening features of Krishna Prema. It's somehow it's like that. So in the 10th canto there's a nice line, Raja Vakasha Shrama Bhuja Chalat Kantano Kundalaja. Like that. So here this Raja Akasha, Mother Yashoda, she's pulling the rope of the churning rod, like that. Now note, the churning rod is a type of bamboo, a specialized type of bamboo for the specific function of churning, like that. And the bamboo, it has a hollow in it. It has a hollow in it, like that. See? So when Mother Yasoda churns with the rope onto the bamboo that goes into the pot, about 22 years ago when I used to stay here in Vrindavan doing some service in the Gurukul, I used to go with the Gurukul boys once a week into the remote villages. At that time there was no shops here, no MVT, everything was van, Vrindavan. At that time, there was no even bottled water. You remember Vaishnava? We used to take sweet water from the sweet water well from our Goshala. So once a week I used to go with the boys into the remote villages of Braj Mandala, like that, as an ashram teacher. So, when you have an acute sense of hearing, and when you go into the actual remote villages where they use this particular bamboo, sometimes it's sort of called a kichita. They use this word, kichita. This is a particular name, bamboo. They use this particular, it has a hollow. And in other words, it is a bamboo that has a hollow. And the one, you could say, one part of the bamboo, the knots are separated very far, so one whole bamboo can have a hollow. Because the knots at the two ends, and so forth, like that. So that bamboo is placed into the yogurt pot. Like that. And when you have an acute sense of hearing, and you go very close, but it must be that particular bamboo rod with only two knots from one up and one bottom. There's no knots in between. So with the acute sense of hearing, even if you go to the remote villages now, there's not much left nearby. But you really go into the remote areas like Bandiravan and Kamyavan and so forth, you'll hear very clearly when you have an acute sense. You go near, and then even the, you know, the elderly gopi ladies in the villages, they may think, is something wrong with you? Why are you coming close with your ears? You know? No, I want to hear this. So you tell them, go on churning. Like that. Go on churning the butter with the rope and this bamboo rod in there. And you'll hear one sound. Duk them. Duk them. Duk them. And then when they go a little faster, it goes duktum, 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 duktum. Beautiful sound. That is called in Chaitanya Lila the Mirdanga. That bamboo, it has two heads to it. It has a hollow end. It corresponds with the Mirdanga and the Chaitanya Lila. And then here, Prabhupada actually translates this these words, chalat kankano. In other words, you know, bhuja chalat kankano. So Prabhupada says in the actual translation of the 10th canto, that this bhuja chalat kankano means that the two bangles are moving. It doesn't say Mother Yasoda is moving those bangles. The two bangles are moving. So remember, there's no matter in the spiritual world. Everything is completely of the nature of Ananda Chinmaya Ras. Completely spiritual. There's no dead matter in the material world. At least in the spiritual world. In that sense. So when it says Bhuja Chalat Kankano Kundalacha, this kankano is bangles and kundala means hearings. Like that. And Prabhupada translates, and a bangles and hearings moving and vibrating and a whole body shaking. He doesn't translate that she is moving them. He translates exactly in the word for word. They move of their own accord because they are completely conscious. Completely conscious. Chalat kankano kundalacha. Beautiful words, completely conscious. Like that. So prior to that, what is Mother Yashoda doing? Katagana Natyam. She is singing the beautiful childhood pastimes of Krishna. Beautifully. And accompanying by that, she is churning butter. Dukdum, dukdum, dukdum. And then the bangles and the earrings. Chalat kankano kundalacha. And they make a sound. Sound is coming. And the sound of her earrings and bangles makes this sound. That's bangles. It makes ch ch ch. And duktam, duktam, duktam. And she is chanting. She's singing the childhood pastimes of the Lord. So this is Mother Yashoda. She is a one woman Sankirtan band. One woman Sankirtan. It's the origin of Sankirtan. Like that. And then those bangles and earrings, they correspond in Chaitanya Leela as cartels. The duktam duktam, the churning with the bamboo, corresponds in Chaitanya Leela as madanga. And she is chanting, she is singing the childhood pastimes of Krishna, which corresponds in Chaitanya Leela as Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So in that mood of Sankirtan, Krishna becomes attracted and he comes from the other room. He is not coming because she is churning butter to make milk sweets for him. He is coming because hunger personified has overtaken him as a service. Hunger in the material world is miserable. People die of starvation and hunger. But yet hunger in the spiritual world is a servant of Krishna. And suddenly hunger is serving Krishna and he is coming from the other room because he is yearning, he is hungry for the Sankirtan. Like that. So Mother Yashoda decodes, oh, Krishna wants my attention, that maybe he wants some breast milk. But he came for the kirtan, he came for the Sankirtan. Like that. So this gives a point that when we perform Sankirtan, Krishna comes to you. You do not need to go to Krishna. Sankirtan brings Krishna to you. It's not that you have to go to Krishna. So therefore the only wealth are two things in this world. The only wealth is devotees and the holy name. Like that. So when Krishna comes, he knows that Mother Yashoda is not in the same ecstasy of the other gopis that he's stealing from the houses. And he knows Mother Yashoda is thinking and feeling, how is it that these gopis are in such ecstasy that Krishna steals from them? I don't experience that ecstasy myself. It is unfair. I am Krishna's mother. And at the same time, he cannot steal from home, but something needs to happen. Like that. So as we know, the famous pastimes of Krishna, Mother Yashoda, you know, thrusts him aside practically and goes to the milk that is overflowing in the pan over the fire. And the whole pastimes begin of him stealing butter in his own home, which brings so much of ecstasy to Mother Yashoda that a heightened feature of this motherly love is greatest when she runs after him with a stick in her hand to chastise him. Because mothers like to do that. Mothers like their children to be naughty so that they can chastise them. And that is the highest ecstasy of motherhood. And this comes in that form of this pastime of Damodar Leela, which he hankered for, fulfilled by Krishna when he stole butter in his own home. Do you have any comments or questions? Yes, there's a microphone somewhere. Or maybe His Holiness Guru Prasad Swami Maharaj wants to give us some words of wisdom before we take anything. Anything? His Holiness Bhakti Rasamrita Swami? His Holiness, my dear friend, Bhakti Narasingha, something? Please? Microphone is there? Yes, this devotee has a question.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, you have given such a deep lecture. So my question is like that, like, we know that the ultimate culmination of knowledge is devotion.
No. The ultimate culmination of knowledge is not devotion. Knowledge is gyan. What's that verse? Vairagya Vidya?
Nija Bhakti Yoga.
Nija Bhakti Yoga. In other words, knowledge is dependent on bhakti. Bhakti is independent of knowledge. Jnana and Vairagya are dependent on bhakti, but bhakti is independent of Jnana and Vairagya. I think you're studying too much Sanskrit. Here's another question. Go ahead. What's your name?
Sadhana Siddha Das.
Oh, okay. Sadhana Siddha.
So, okay. Like all these pastimes are taking place in the spiritual world, as you know that. So.
No, the pastimes takes place in consciousness. It's not a physical proximity or geographical consideration. It takes place in consciousness.
Before asking question, you already answered.
I'm sorry, I have a habit of cutting people short when they ask a question. It's a big anatta I have to. It'll take me lifetimes to overcome that. Please forgive me. Consciousness has nothing to do with physical proximity or geographical calculation.
My question has not finished. Can I finish my
question? You have another question?
Like...
Okay, this time I'll hear your question fully. Please go ahead.
Like, about the time factor in the spiritual world. About the time factor in the spiritual world. Like, in the spiritual world, as you know, that compared with eternity, the time factor of this material world is just like a lightning flash compared with eternity. So, if time factor is not there in the spiritual world, then...
That is wrong. Where does Srila Prabhupada said, time is not there in the spiritual world? That is wrong. I have to correct you right now. I have had many lectures by devotees that say that time is absent in the spiritual world. It is wrong. We have to correct this. Srila Prabhupada says, the influence of time is conspicuous by its absence in the spiritual world, not time. Time is there, but the influence of time is conspicuous by its absence, not time itself. In the spiritual nature, time is a servant. In the material nature, time is the master. Is that okay? In the spiritual world, time is in the ever-present. In the material world, time as past and future. The present always becomes past. See? And this future becomes present. So there's no present in the material world. It's only past and future. But in the spiritual world, time is ever present as a servant of the Lord. So therefore Srila Prabhupada exactly says in his purports, the influence of time is conspicuous by its absence, not time itself. Like that. So many, sometimes devotees loosely say, oh, time is conspicuous by its absence. No, the influence of time is conspicuous by its absence. And what's the influence of time in the material world? Birth, old age, disease and death. That's the influence of time. That influence of time is not there in the spiritual world because it's in the ever-present. And this is given nicely in Brahma Samhita too. Sorry if I cut you short.
Can you please explain a little bit more Ananda Chinmay Rasa Pratibhavita Abhis? I'm not able to understand this sloka properly. If you can just a little bit elaborate more.
What do you not understand in the sloka itself? Tell me.
What does this mean? What does actually mean and how? What it says Ananda Chinmay Rasa Pratibhavita Abhis? I don't understand that. How to understand this sloka?
What exactly you don't understand? I need to know.
What is this rasa pratibhavita bhis bhava and how is Krishna reciprocating with other devotees like that?
How
Krishna is what is this exchange of love between them? Not
so Ananda Chinmaya ras prati. Prati means every second. Okay. Bhavita bhis tabir yeva nija rupataya kalabi. Kalabi, kala means time. And this is in Goloka Eva Nivasati Akilatma Bhuto Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. So, Ananda Chinmaya Ras goes with the word prati. Prati means every second. And every second indicates, Srila Prabhupada says, that Krishna and his entourage are of the same spiritual potency, and therefore he says Ananda Chinmaya Ras. Of the same spiritual potency. If it's not same, how can they be Ras? They have the same spiritual potency. That's Ananda Chinmaya. See? And Ras means Ananda. There's some pleasure in that sense. So Prabhupada says in one place that Krishna's father, Krishna's mother, his cowherd friends and the gopis are all but expansions of himself. But at the same time, it's not like, you know, it will beg the question. You mean Krishna is there and then suddenly these people expand? That means at one time they were not there? No. It is crude in the English language for the sake of having a beginning and an end, because that's what we are used to in material experience. So when we attribute a relative consciousness to an absolute nature, you cannot entirely explain it in its spirituality. That is called gyan. It's called philosophy. So Krishna Bhakti or Prema or Krishna Prema is beyond philosophy. It's beyond philosophy. Therefore one time Srila Prabhupada used to say, and the gopis, they have no knowledge. That means they have no gyan. They're not like the sophisticated queens in Dwarka. You know, who know things. They are simple village girls. They didn't even go to school, you know, so to speak. Like that. They only know one thing. Krishna Prema. Loving Krishna. That means, not that, you know, Krishna, I love you so much and do nothing. No. They are actively involved in devotional service eternally. So this is Ananda Chinmaya Ras. Is that okay? But this word prati is there. Prati means every moment or every second is in the ever present in terms of time.
Maharaj, and Bhagavat.
What's your time? Can we take this as last question because time is. Tell me.
Srimad Bhagavatam Srila Prabhupada explains the purport that object of knowledge and the knower are same in the spiritual world. If you can explain a little bit more how to understand it. The object of knowledge and the knower are same.
Bhagavad Gita takes you from the material world into the spiritual world. But in the spiritual world itself, there's no Bhagavad Gita. So I don't know how to answer that question. But there's another way to answer it. You know, the gopis, they tell Krishna, oh, we heard, very nice, you said, yayata mam prapajante tamsa cheva bhajami maham. You know, that you know, as you surrender to me, I reciprocate accordingly. Like that. So then they told Krishna, you are useless. You say this verse somewhere else, but you cannot reciprocate with us fully. It's true, Krishna cannot fulfill that verse in Golok Vrindavan. Ye yata mam prapajanti tamcha cheva bhajami aham. He say, as you surrender unto me, you reciprocate accordingly. We are completely surrendered to you. But then you leave us and you run away. So what is this? Bhagavad Gita has no meaning in Golok Vrindavan. Bhagavad Gita is to take us from the material into the spiritual. So therefore, it was Arjuna's service to be in Maya. Arjuna is not it. Is it service to be in Maya so that Bhagavad Gita can be spoken to take us out of Maya? So we cannot quote, you know, Gyanam, Gyayam, and so forth in terms of Golok. It's actually a little different. Is that all right for now? Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Ananta koti Vaishnav vrinda ki jai. Shri Kartik Mas ki jai. Shri Yasoda Damodar ki jai. Shri Radha Damodar ki jai. Nitai Gaur Premanande. Hari Hari.